please, please help me. Jezebel. I spoke about the four women of the church. I mentioned the four women of the church. I completed the first lady. Her name is Jezebel. Her name means partially married. She will keep the state of partiality. Plan B. She will try and not allow saints of God to give themselves fully to God. She wants to hold them back. And she will use sexual impropriety as one of her greatest weapons. Amen? So, before I start on lady number two, there's four women we will cover. Four women of the, in the book of Revelations is mentioned. And we need to know what they mean, because Revelations is things to come. Amen. Jezebel has been around for centuries. She's neither male nor female. She will act through male and female people. She will manipulate. She's a manipulator. She will manipulate the spouse to get what she wants. It wants. That's a better way of putting it. It wants. Amen. She will leave the specifically, if it's going through a woman, she will leave the man in a state of position without power. He might be looking like the head, but he can't act like the head. And that's how she divides families. And she brings men into submission. So, thank God, God's straightened the men to rise up in this hour like never before. Men to be men. The definition of men in the Bible I'm talking about, not what the world defines as a man, what the Bible calls a man. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the anointing that's in this place this morning. We thank you, God, that there was just an open heaven in this house. And Lord, you're about to do something fresh and new. Give us an ear to hear what your Spirit is saying. And Father, we thank you for that. We, above all, we have a heart of your word. And that, Lord, that seed would fall on good ground to bring forth, Lord, fruit to righteousness and the glory of the kingdom of God. Bring forth the sons of God in this hour like never before, Father. And God, as we leave the childish things behind, that we come into the maturities of the Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Title of my message this morning is The Prophetic Anointing Part 2. No. Let your yes be yes. It's under The Prophetic Anointing Part 2, but the title of my message is Let Your Yes Be Yes. It's imperative to let your yes be yes. Amen. It's actually a maturing step in our walk with God, allowing a yes to be yes and a no to be no. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, it says, if you make a vow, pay it at all costs, even to your own expense. If you've said something, do it. Even if it costs to do it, you do it. Unless they relieve you or release you from that. Amen. For instance, if my wife makes a vow and she hasn't spoke to me about that vow, I can release her from that vow as a man, as a, amen. So, yeah, and my children, all right. So last week I spoke about the prophetic kingly priestly anointing. We as believers, we have it been designed to walk out as priests and kings and under anointing. Remember that? The book of Revelations 1 and 6 says, we are priests and kings. You are priests and kings. He's the king of kings. So there's other kings. So you are a king, a small king. You're not a big king. You're a little king. He's the big king. Amen. So we have to walk in this kingly priestly anointing, which gives me an ability then for it to speak about something. What does it say in the book about? It says, speak. When you speak something, let it be established. All right? So that's what a king can do. But that anointing culture, Jezebel's culture, her ways and desires, and removes apathy from the walks of the saints of God. And there's a song that the devil is singing to bring a lullaby into the house of the Lord, trying to put the saints asleep, amen, to the things of the Spirit. You hear saints say, I'm tired. It's the same old, same old. Nothing seems to be happening. I don't see anything happening in my life. It's because what the devil has been doing is a song. Amen. But the reality is, God is always working on your behalf, whether you see it or you don't. Amen. If he's not before you, he's behind you. Glory to God. And as you grow and mature in the things of the Spirit, he will move himself purposely from in front of you to go behind you. He said to Abraham, Abraham, walk before me and I will show you. And so Abraham did. He took a step of faith, walking before the Lord. Then all of a sudden, I think it's chapter 15 in the book Exodus, Genesis, he starts saying, Abram, walk before me and I will be your rear guard. In other words, as he grew in the things of the communion with the Spirit, all of a sudden he went from a place of being, had to be led, to a place of walking by faith. Walking by faith. And sons of God have to walk faith. Amen. And if you're wrong, God is quick enough to prick you along and push you into the right path to exactly where he wants you to get. But he expects me, you and I, to walk by faith. Take a step of faith, even a step of faith into the unknown realm, believing God that he is for me. And if he is for me, nothing by any means can harm me. Amen. He expects me to walk by faith. There are children of God that have been walking by faith. There's another woman in the Bible in Revelation chapter 12, the second woman. We're going to talk about her for a minute. The second woman in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 12, she was, chapter 12, verse 1 to 5, she was a woman that her clothes shone like the sun. She was standing upon the moon. Her head had a garland of 12 stars around her head. She was a woman that reflected God. She's a type of the church. She's reflecting the Christ. We went from church in the book of Revelations, the word church in the book of Revelations, to the word woman in the book of Revelations, because after all, you'll never see the word church again. It's not mentioned. Because there had to come a maturity of the church into the place of the woman, the bride. Amen. And as we church, we're being trained by the Spirit to become his what? His bride. There has to come a transition from the church to the bride. Amen. And that transition will cost us something. We sung a song this morning, more of you. If you really mean that song, if you really want the more, if you want that more, the more you want is the more you'll have to give up. It's no longer I that, but the Christ that lives in me. Not my will, but thy will. There's a maturing to come into the more of God. Amen? And as sons of God, and I believe that's what forth, as sons of God, he wants to bring a maturity to the house of God. He wants to transition her. He wants to get her ready. He wants her clothed with the sun. In other words, there's a revelation during the day. She was standing on the moon, and the moon speaks of the night. In other words, there was still a shining in her season of darkness. And yet there was a garland of the 12 stars around her head. 12, which means the government of God and the authority of. In other words, she had the mind of Christ. So no matter what season she was in, she shone. No matter what was happening about her, she had the mind of Christ. She had the right garments on. Her garments shone. Amen. And if you were here deep, you'd understand where I'm coming from with this. There is something about the garment that the children of God, the priests and kings are wearing today, that some things in our life to be ironed out. It actually says in Ephesians chapter 5, it says that wash yourself with the water of the word, that your garment, that you will be without spot or wrinkle. Spot or wrinkle. Spots speak of blemish. Spots speak of my face. Spots speak of my appearance. And, you know, there's certain things that can make my appearance not good. Show you a couple of them. One of the greatest things that changes a man and a woman's appearance is unforgiveness. Another thing that will change a person's appearance is bitterness. Sometimes you just got to look at a person, they're going through something. They don't have to say a word. Their appearance shows it. There's a blemish on them. And it's because, and a blemish is usually because there's something in their system that is not right. And the blemish on the bride should not be there. There are certain things and characteristics in Ephesians he tells us to do to get rid of the blemishes and the wrinkles. Amen. He says washing with the water of the word. There has to be a washing. That's why we must be a people of the... Come on now. We must wash ourselves and regenerate our minds with the water of the word. You will not get a new mindset just coming to church. You will not get a new mindset just in a prayer. Prayer will not change your mind. Prayer communes with God. You hear from God in prayer. But the mindset changed from the thinking of the old kingdom into the new kingdom of light comes through the power of the washing and regeneration of the word of God. You and I must be people of the word. We must study the word. We must read the word. And I hear people's heads going now, oh, I don't really like reading my Bible. You know, I'd rather watch a video. Videos are okay. Watching a video and watching someone on TV is okay. But it is not a replacement for you to not read your Bible. You must read it. It is the living word. It's what washes and regenerates and places a mindset in you to be Christ-like. Amen. It will challenge you, will it will not challenge me. It will deal with you where it doesn't deal with me, but it will deal with me where it mightn't do. It is a living word. Amen. It is God's word to me. So when you're saying, God, speak to me, read your Bible. God, I haven't heard from you for weeks. Maybe you haven't picked up your Bible for weeks. He wants to speak to you daily. He wants to commune with you daily. I have to have a lifestyle of prayer. I have to have a lifestyle of reading. And that lifestyle of prayer and reading causes my mindset to change. And my mindset change causes me to mature in the things of the Spirit. Amen. God is looking for sons and daughters in this hour like never before. He wants to put a yes in you where your yes and his yes agree, that brings a change. Turn with, I haven't got it on the screen. Anyone got a Message Bible? No, I'll read it. Let me read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 to 22 in the Message Bible says this. 1, verse 20 to 22 in the Message Bible says this. Whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of God. In Him, that is, that what we preach and pray, the great Amen, God's yes and our yes together are gloriously evident. God affirms us, making us sure, a sure thing in Christ, putting His yes within you. Everything He's promised, He already says you can have. If He's spoken it to you. If He's spoken something to Charmian and He hasn't said it to me, I'm wasting my time with my yes. Because it's not to me. It's to Charmian. But what He's given me as a promise, I place my yes with Him. So therefore, when Jesus said it's finished, it's already written inside of you what God wants to get out of you, and He wants me to come in agreement with my yes to Him with the yes that He's written on my heart. There's a yes inside of you. A yes from God. Yes. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a yes. He's written that. Yes. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. That's a yes. I don't have to go to God about that. Already, yes. Amen. I'm the head and not the tail. That's already a yes. I'm healed by the blood of the Lamb and the stripes of His back. That's a yes. I don't have to go to God about that. He wants to heal me. I don't have to beg Him. He wants to heal you. He wants your sickness healed. He wants it healed. Amen. There are yeses in God that are absolute. And what has to happen? Got to come by faith with my yes. Yes, Lord, I agree with your word. Yes, Lord, you're a God who cannot lie. Yes, Lord, you're the orchestrator of change. Yes, Lord, you will see me through this. Yes, Lord, you will, even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Yes, Lord, you will keep me in my midnight hour. Yes, Lord, my children and my children's children are blessed. Yes, Lord, how do I know that? This. That's what it says. But if you don't know this, You might have money in the bank, you don't know how to draw it out. You're rich, but at the same time poor. By his Spirit he has stamped with us his eternal pledge, a sure beginning of what he is destined to complete. He's placed his yes in you. What I've got to do is get my yes to come in agreement with his yes that he's already written in my heart. Walk by faith, because where two or three agree concerning anything, I come in agreement with the Spirit. I come in agreement with the Spirit. Things happen. Things happen. This woman in Revelation 12 bind herself to his yes. And what's the next thing? All his promises are yes. Amen. What does amen mean? Agree. Let it be so. So, you're speaking already prophetically, and you're speaking already by faith the minute you say amen. Amen to that. Let it be so, Lord. I agree with you. I agree with your word. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. So she transitioned from having experience, this woman, this came from the church to the woman, by from having an experience with God to having an encounter with God. But there are certain things in life that she had to deal with. The blemishes. There is no transition unless there's a dealing with the blemishes and with the wrinkles. Yesterday I looked up, and Google's a good thing sometimes. I looked up on Google. I'm thinking, what's a wrinkle? I'm not talking about your face. But her garment, it says you'll be removed from with its wrinkles. There was a crease. A wrinkle is literally this. When the garment is wrinkled, the atoms in it tighten up. Normally they're loose, but they tighten up and they bind together. And the only way to get that free is with heat and with water. Heat and with water. Fire and his word. Fire and his word. If there's a crease in my garment, he will allow the fire of God and the water of his word to iron out your crease. That is a step of maturity. Because I don't have to have that. I can just stay where I'm at. But God's love is so great. And if you want the more, if you want the transition from a knowledge of God to a knowing of God, you must allow the fire to come and touch what it needs to touch. And you must apply the word of God to your life to deal with the issues of them lives, the unforgiveness, the bitterness. You ever seen someone angry? Just the appearance of anger can be on their face. Anger, resentment, all these things can change my appearance, and they put a blemish in me. And God will not have anything blemished. He comes for a bride that's without spot or wrinkle. Amen. So he wants the blood of the Lamb to wash away the blemish. He wants the water of the Word to wash away the blemish. And he wants to deal with my garment. There's a man in the book of, and if you weren't deep, please forgive me because you already heard this. There was a man in Mark chapter 10, a rich young ruler, that asked this. He said, good teacher. Jesus rebukes him immediately. He says, no one is good but God. Remember that. So he's saying, don't call me good. If you see the man, don't call me good. But if you had seen the Christ, Jesus would have accepted it. No man is good save God. And all of a sudden he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus chucks him the commandments from commandment 5 to commandment 8. Honor your mother and your father. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Him thinking he is good, because that's what the whole parable is about, is being good. His thing about being good all of a sudden was challenged. He said, all these things I do. Therefore, I must be good. I must be good. I'm a good. And you know what? When people think that, and don't get me wrong, there's some people that are really good. Is there? They really do. They really act good. Amen? And when they act good, because they've got good morals or whatever, they act good. There is a sense of life in that. Amen? Then Jesus smacks him. I love it. It was the perfect setup. He smacks him. He says, but if you want eternal life, let go and sell all the things that you have, pick up the cross, and follow me. And suddenly his heart was sad. Because all of a sudden Jesus saying is, you're good, ain't good. You're good. Ain't good enough. And straight away, it was a heart issue. What Jesus was saying there was this: love the Lord your God with all your strength. He took me to the first commandment: you shall have no other gods before me. This saying was too hard. And a lot of times when people think they're good in their own mindset, They cleave the gospel. They can't get to the cross part because they think they already have life. Until they get the revelation that they need Jesus, because there's only good found in God. They need just to be good. This is another blemish, I believe, that can be upon the garment. When us as Christians think we're doing good and we take reward out of our good, I take reward of your giftings. I take reward of your position or your status. And we think we're doing good for God. That is a blemish because there's none good but God. Everything he gave me. Everything I am is because of what he's done for me. Everything about everything is all about him. Paul says it like this: not that I've already attained, I've already come. Then he goes on the next verse, he says, but that I may what? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. In other words, I haven't arrived. I haven't got to the place I should be. Here's a man, 2/3 of the New Testament, and he says he hasn't arrived. And the anointing flowed through him because the first base he came to was humility. And sonship and coming into that place of fruitfulness in God will take a place in my heart and my spirit to stay humble. Everything I have is his. Everything I've got is his. Everything I'm able to do is because of him. It's by his grace. It's by his goodness. It's by his mercy. And it's by his love that he's kept me. Every breath I take today is by the grace of God. Never, never, never allow thee to bring you into a place of self-promotion. It is not about self-promotion. It's about promoting Jesus. And that is our testimony. That is our goodness is because Jesus has redeemed from the curse of death and sin. Otherwise, if he had left me to myself, I'm no different to anyone else. I walk by grace. Therefore, it helps me to love someone. It helps me to have grace for someone. It helps me to show mercy for someone that's battling. One of the chief robbers of Christians is this: our self-perception. When we have a perception of how a person should act or react, and they don't do it, we get disappointed. They should know how. They should know the basics of the Lord. They should know how to do this, know how to do that. And when they don't do it, oh. So we have this perception on people. We put this perception on people that really is robbery. I shouldn't be doing it. I should be saying, Lord, help them. And whatever the fruitfulness of that, I celebrate it. Amen? I give the Lord the glory for it. Otherwise, what I'm doing is I'm placing my standard upon someone else. And it's wrong. Jesus never did that. He showed me a standard that he'd like all to attain, that we might bear the image of Christ. But he allows me to choose. He allows me to choose. Amen. There is something in the yes of God. When I say yes to him and say, God, let my yes align with your yes, immediately it brings me into a place of conflict of my wrinkles and my blemishes. If I want to transition from church, which is a group of believers, to sons and daughters of the Most High, and I'm talking about maturity now, so we're all sons and daughters by name and nature, but by maturity, sons and daughters of God, there has to come a transition, and the transition will be you have to deal with the spots and the wrinkles. He wants to bring her forth, shining something that is not of you. He wants to reveal you to the world where you are same in season, out of season, in the daytime and in the night season. And the garment of the order of God is upon your mindset, and you're the same yesterday and today and hopefully forever, just like him. Amen? So the world can see who? Who's the world going to see? Jesus. The woman is arrayed in fine linen, arrayed in glory, shining in the day and walking in revelation of light in her night season. Upon her head is a rain, 12 stars, speaking of the governmental order and the prophetic anointing of God. You and I must start to speak more and declare more and decree more by faith. Amen? And that's a prophetic voice. Your yes has to align up to what he said. Is God prophetic? Yeah. Yes, he is. You've got to speak prophetically over your own life and situation and your own family, your own children, and speaking out even though you can't see it. Faith doesn't need to see it. Faith just got to believe his yes. I'm going to say it again. Faith has just got to believe his yes. It's got to come in agreement with his yes. Amen? And if you don't know what the yeses are in God, read your Bible. There are so many promises of God given to you, and he wants me to have all of it. All of it. And then there's some specific ones that he's spoken directly to you. Amen? And he wants you to have it. He wants you to have it so he can get some glory out of you. So he can be revealed to the world. Are you with me this morning? God wants to reveal an anointing on your life. And so I deal with the issue of my life. The Holy Ghost will bring them up. The Holy Ghost will show me. The Holy Ghost will show me where there's a wrinkle, where there's a tightness in my spirit, man, where something's not aligning. But all of a sudden, when the fire and the water comes, guess what? They release and go in that flowy, nice state. And the wrinkle's out. But there's many things that cause wrinkles. Old age causes wrinkles. No, not really. We're talking about garments. Sitting and not moving for God causes wrinkles. Sitting and not moving for God causes wrinkles. Spiritual wrinkles. Not revealing the love of God and walking out ways will cause wrinkles. He's coming back for a bride. He's coming back for a bride. And in chapter 17, chapter 21, he reveals It says his wife, actually. He says, come and see the Lamb's wife. She's transitioned. Now she's married. Now there's a union that is so unique and so bound in. So one are they. Now she's worthy of being his wife. This woman in chapter 12 was pregnant. She was pregnant. She had an expectation. She was pregnant with something. And it says, and the serpent came looking for her. In fact, it doesn't say her. It says looking for the seed. Because he wants to kill the seed of you. He wants to kill your dream. He wants to kill your purpose. He wants to kill your identity. He wants to destroy the seed. And it says that the seed was caught up into the heavens. God will always protect the seed. Amen. And the Lord, a hidden place for her. Glory to God. A hidden place for her. The devil is not just after what you've got. The devil's after what your children and your children's children have got. He wants to devour the seed. Amen. Amen. He wants to devour the seed. And it's up to you and I to get into a place where I birth the things of God and trust God with my what? My seed. I trust him with my seed. And sometimes the seed is not in my sight. Sometimes the seed is not in my vision. I can't see it anymore. God has taken it into a place where he's got it. And all of a sudden, now I've got to learn to walk by what? By faith. I've got to walk by faith. Footnote hint. If your children aren't in the things of the kingdom, what you perceive the kingdom of God, God has them exactly where he wants them. And he will give them the revelation of heaven in their day. I believe that. His promises to you and to your children and your children's children. I believe that. That's a yes. I anchor my soul on that. That's a yes. God has never lost one. Amen. Even if they're wayward, he hasn't lost them. They're just not in the place where they should be. God's Spirit has never left them. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. He'll get them in a place of transition. Goodness. We've got to walk, make sure that we don't walk in this position of self-righteousness. In fact, Isaiah 66 says, my righteousness is like what? Filthy rags to his feet. My righteousness is like filthy rags to him. It actually is a stench to God. He doesn't want no flesh to get any glory out of anything. He wants the spirit man to get the glory. He wants your spirit fired and uplifted. He'll deal with your flesh at the end. You will be given a new body. Your flesh will not be saved. Your flesh will be transformed. You'll be given a new body. Your soul will be transformed. Your spirit man is saved. Amen? So there's this transition. I don't know about you, but I hunger for the transition in the body of Christ. I want her to become the woman. I want her to become the woman that carries something weighty, that is expectant. And all of a sudden, when God speaks, it is going to come forth. But in the midst of the coming forth, guess what? You will be in a fight. The devil does not need to bring forth the promises of God, which are what? Yes and amen. He does not want you to bring forth the promises of God, because the minute you bring forth the promise of God, you are dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. And all of a sudden, that being hidden in your life, God will bring forth suddenly. A suddenly came upon the woman. Amen. Like birth pangs, they suddenly came upon her. And all of a sudden, she birthed something. And the woman birthed what God had placed within her. Glory to God. And I believe that he wants his church to sing a song. I don't believe it was by coincidence or accident that we were singing a song at the end. More of you. I need you more. He's putting a longing and a desire in the woman for his presence. Putting a longing and desire to be with the King. Amen. I have to align my yes to the yes He's placed inside of me and walk by faith. Walk by faith. I need my garment washed in the blood. Amen. Revelation says in 7:14, her garment was washed white with the blood of the Lamb. Doesn't matter what my problem is, the blood's paid its price. Doesn't matter what situation causes the wrinkle, the blood's big enough and it's paid the price. Amen. Doesn't matter what I'm going through, no dilemma in my life, the blood has paid the price. Amen. What I've got to do is allow the word, the fire to come and fix the wrinkle. Amen. And I shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Why do you think the fire's there? It's not to be a light. Yeah, it's not to be a sparkler in the middle of the night. Yeah. No, it's not that. The fire's there to baptize me, to burn up the wood, the hay, and the chaff, and the stubble of life. Amen. That I might come as pure gold, done by the refiner's fire. Glory to God. Transferring from the church to the woman, from the woman to the wife. Glory to God. Fellowship and union, oneness with Him. Amen. Just like the bride. In fact, Ephesians chapter 5 is a perfect picture. Just like the man and the woman become one. When a place of communion with Him, I become one with Him. We are complete. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want the more. I don't know about you, but I want my yes to align up to His yes. And I want the promises of God. I want to see souls saved. I want to see the kingdom of darkness devastated. And I want to see the kingdom of light populated. And that light, that yes and that light is locked up in each one of us. Amen. So man, no matter what the season the person's in, I can bring light to it. I can bring instruction because I have the mind of Christ. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. I just feel the Holy Ghost telling me I've placed a yes in some people here this morning and they're not listening to it. They're doubting my yes. They're not aligning to my yes. The prophetic word this morning was that the key to enter in. You've got to step by faith this morning. Are you listening to me? You've got to walk by faith. You've got to step in through the gate by faith. Enter His yes. You just got to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I agree with Your Spirit. Yes, Lord. I can't see it, but that's all right. It's yes, Lord. I'm not experiencing anything, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Jesus, my kids are all over the place. Yes, Lord. Lord, my husband and my wife, they're going nuts. Yes, Lord. God, I'm running out of money. Yes, Lord. So when you look at the problem, you say to the problem, yes, Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond understanding, will be your portion. Praise God. Who wants more this morning? Hallelujah. Who wants that transition? Lord, let me deal with my spots. Father, help me iron out my wrinkles. I need your anointing. I need your spirit. God, I apply the blood of the Lamb right now. Wash my garment afresh. Lord, it's all about you and it's nothing about me. Lord, it's nothing good in me. It's all found in you. It's all you, Jesus. Father, help me to keep an eye of you in everything I do. Help me to walk by grace. Help me, Father, to be a man of the Spirit. That, Lord, release a strength and an anointing and a fragrance of you in the midst of every situation. I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. I receive, Father, your yes this morning afresh. I receive it afresh in the Holy Ghost. And I align myself up to your yes. I align myself, Father. And I say, God, have your way in me. God, give me a thirst and a hunger for your word. Father, that I be dedicated, Father, to the things of the Spirit. I thank you, Jesus. Allow fire, Father, to deal with the things in my life. Allow your fire, Father, to purge that which needs to be purged. And allow the water to refresh me in the midst of my dry place. I believe your word. I believe you're a God of yes and amen. And I say amen to the promises of God. I say amen, Lord, let it be so. It is so, it is so, it is so. For you're a God who cannot lie. I receive it by faith this morning. And Father, I thank you we're going to see change. We're going to see transition occur. We're going to see the house come into fruitfulness and maturity. We're going to see the sons of God manifest in this hour that will, Lord, quench the groaning of the earth. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus. And God, and even in the midst of all that, of all your promotion, of all your goodness, of all your pouring out, Lord, we say it's all you. It's nothing of us. We're just the benefactories of your favor. And we love you for it. We want to thank you for it. And we want to praise you for it. And we want to glorify you for it. And we want to say, God, we just in awe of your goodness toward us. So, Father, this morning, we celebrate you and everything you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't he a good God? It puts another bent on goodness. Amen. It's amazing what it does. It causes you to start giving him thanks for all things. That's what he says. Give thanks in all things. Amen. Helps you to give thanks in all things. Because you know, it's nothing's of you. God bless you. Have a good week. Successful week. Say in Jesus' name, amen.